Welcome to MLB Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition. I am Allison Footer, and I'm here with Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, let's get right into it. It's 2019, so we're going to keep with the New Year's theme. And why don't you give me a New Year's resolution for the Angels?
Well, I think the Angels would love to be a little bit healthier this year, right? Last year, we know the injuries were a big issue for that team, especially with the rotation. And obviously, even to Shohei Ohtani with his Tommy John surgery, and even Albert Pujols with his knee injury. So I think this year the Angels would love to have a year where they can actually have all their guys be available and see if this, you know, roster is one that can compete, you know, and make the postseason for the first time in 4 years. So right now, obviously in the division, you know, the Astros are the heavy favorites, but the Angels still could be, you know, a wild card contender. And I think that, you know, even just getting into the playoffs would be a big step for this franchise, because at this point we know they're trying to build a team around Mike Trout, and, you know, with two more years on his contract, you know, they got to try to find a way to convince Trout this is going to be a winning franchise going forward. And I think this year could be a big part of that in terms of their future.
Yeah, I think everybody would like to see Mike Trout into the postseason, and they'd like to see the Angels actually win a game in October that Mike Trout is playing in. So we will keep our eye on that. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done until then. And I know that one of our past conversations, and of course, I'm very skeptical when it comes to the Angels for many reasons. One, that they have so many pitching injuries over the past few years, but also, you know, you really can't consider yourself a contender if you don't have any stability behind the plate, because the pitching position is so important. And then they signed Jonathan Lucroy. And I know that, you know, he gets criticism because he's had several down years offensively, but I really am not too concerned about that. I love his presence behind the plate. He did, I thought, wonders for the A's last season. And so that could be a pretty big deal, given some of these pitchers are going to need to be sort of brought along methodically. And he seems to be a good guy to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, last year, he had a big role in that A's team. He looked at that A's kind of pitching staff last year, and they didn't really have too many big names, a lot of guys and veterans that have been around, but, and obviously a lot of the stuff with the opener and all that, but it just did a great job with that staff. He's always been known as a guy, a good pitch framer. As you said, offensively, he's not the same guy that he was even a few years ago. But that's not really their concern right now. They, you know, more than anything, I think Brad Ausmus even said during the winter meetings, as a former catcher himself, this team really needed a veteran catcher to kind of lead this staff. And this is the guy that kind of, you know, I didn't think they were going to go after, you know, whether it was going to be Realmuto, they weren't going to trade the prospects for him. And I don't think they're going to spend the money for a guy like Grandal. So I think it made a lot of sense to get a guy in a one-year deal. There are a couple of guys out there. Martin Maldonado, their former Gold Glove catcher, was also out there. He could have made some sense, but I think Lucroy is a guy that's been on some teams too, which does help, especially as a catcher. And I think that Lucroy is someone that Brad Ausmus wanted. Ausmus really did want that veteran catcher. I think he kind of got his guy. So I do think that's a kind of an underrated move for them. It's not going to move the needle in terms of offense for the club, but I do think for that pitching staff, it's going to be key to have a guy like that on the plate.
Yeah, let's keep on the theme of starting pitching. Lucroy will probably be working with Matt Harvey. I thought that was a pretty good pickup for the Angels. I mean, Matt Harvey sort of, I think, maybe redeemed himself a little bit when he was at the Reds in 2018, but I'm not completely convinced that he can, I don't know. We don't know what we're going to get from him, right? But for a team like the Angels, that probably made sense, that they kind of both need each other. Do you think that there's more work to be done to shape that rotation?
Yeah, it's a good point, though. They kind of need each other in a sense. I think, too, Matt Harvey, he likes to train with you know, Scott Boras's staff. Apparently last year when he was DFA'd by the Mets, he spent a lot of time in Southern California before he got traded to the Reds, about 10 days or so, kind of working out. I felt like he started getting things kind of back on track a little bit. So I think he likes the fact that he could not only, you know, work with the Angel trainers, but also have access to the trainers down there in Southern California, because we know he's had a lot of injury concerns, whether it was a Tommy John or the thoracic outlet syndrome or the scapula surgery. So at least he was healthy last year, though, with the Reds. And you know, ERA-wise, you don't know what you're going to get, because even with the Reds, he pitched okay, but ERA was still, you know, 4.5. You never know how it's going to translate to the American League. The good news is the stuff is still there. He's still throwing really hard. It's just a matter of kind of getting back the strikeouts and just kind of being more effective, I guess, and locating his pitches better. So it made some sense. It's a roll of the dice. It's a one-year deal. It's a gamble, kind of like Cahill as well. So, yeah, they could probably still use another starter. Will they go and get a guy at a multi-year deal? I'd be very surprised. I think maybe they could gamble on another guy with 1 year. But even that, I think more than anything, they're probably going to be more likely to go after bullpen help than anything. But I think they're kind of rolling the dice, and some guys are one-year deal guys like Harvey and Cahill, and we'll see how it works out. But it gives them some depth. At the same time, neither of those guys are guys that are have avoided the injury bug in recent years. That's something the Angels are looking for. They didn't really get guys that are big innings eaters.
Yeah, you mentioned the bullpen, and that's going to – I think it's kind of an interesting dynamic with a lot of teams. Like you said in one of your recent articles, the Angels don't have a set closer, but Billy Epler said there are three or four relievers on the roster could be candidates to finish tight games. As we move away from the importance of the designated closer role, even though I still think that not everybody can do that job – but I don't know. I guess maybe, are relievers, you sense that they're maybe buying into this, the matchup thing a little bit more and not having a defined role, and that could maybe work in the Angels' favor given how many candidates they have?
You are right in terms of the fact that players have to buy into that for sure, because I do know talking to players in the past and former closers with the Twins that players like to have a role more than anything, especially a closer. They like to know, hey, I'm the closer. I'm going to be in the clubhouse for the third inning. I'm going to drink my Red Bull, whatever you're going to do to get ready. Bullpen by the sixth or seventh inning, and then you're going to close in the ninth. You're not going to be used before that, so hey, I'm going to get ready everything I can for that one inning. Whereas if you have a bunch of closers by committee, all the guys are sitting out there in the bullpen, don't know when you're going to close, or you're going to come in there in the seventh inning, the ninth inning. Obviously it's their job to get outs, and you have to prepare yourself for that, but obviously if you have more of a routine and more of a set role, I think it's a little easier to do your job sometimes. But if you don't have that guy though that can be that lights out closer, maybe it makes sense though to kind of just playoff matchups. And if you have a guy that's, a lefty that can kind of face lefties at the end of the game, it makes more sense in terms of matchups than do it. But I can still see the Angels maybe going and getting a guy that has, closing experience still. But at the same time, I still don't see them going after a Kimbrel or a big name closer. I think it'd be another guy kind of on a 1 year deal, maybe with some closing experience.
Yeah, it's really amazing how things have changed really just in the last few years. And I think that even though I totally agree with you, they are creatures of routine. They need to know what they're going to be doing. But I think that adjustments can be made. And to be honest with you, I think that the guys like to say that they need a role because of contract negotiations, quite frankly. And now that we see middle relievers that are getting paid very well, I sense that we may hear fewer pitchers really grousing about, I don't know my role. It's like, my role could be the seventh inning if I'm going to get paid like a closer. Sure. I mean, absolutely. You see the next few years that happening, right?
Absolutely. Same thing with the opener guys now too. Are they going to get paid because they're not getting any real stats either? So yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, because they're paid to get outs, they can get outs in any inning, but I do think guys prefer roles, but you're right. Money is always going to be a big part of it. And if you can rack up saves or, that's going to definitely pay you. But so are holds though too, I think. Teams are going to realize that outs are outs.
So let's talk about Shohei Ohtani to end our conversation, because I cringe a little bit. I've got my fingers and every toe crossed that everything works out for him, not pitching and still being a designated hitter. Brad Ausmus, the new manager, said recently that Ohtani is not going to be ready at the start of the season. What's going to have to happen for them to say, okay, he's ready to be a hitter? What are they going to have to see in that arm to make themselves feel like this could be something he can do this year?
It's a great question. And I think right now the big thing is he's going to have some Angel staff go out to Japan this month here and kind of visit with him and see how he's doing. And then the plan after that is he's going to visit with Dr. Alatrach out here in LA and kind of get a feel for where he's at in his rehab. Apparently, from what we heard at the winter meetings, he is a little bit ahead of schedule. It's just going to be a matter of that, structurally sound and being able to do the right motions for that kind of thing. And I think he'll kind of take it slow at first, start taking, batting practice, just swings, that kind of stuff, dry swings, and kind of continue to build up, I think, until he's ready. The good news is most position players in the past that have had that surgery tend to bounce back pretty easily, but obviously they don't pitch too. So that's going to be the hard thing. I think during the season too is when he's hitting, he's going to also be on the side, doing more exercises on his arm and getting it ready to pitch too. So it's kind of unprecedented in that sense to have a guy that's going to be not only hitting, but also rehabbing his arm to try to pitch for the next season. So we've seen guys come back from Tommy John and do fine as hitters, but they didn't have to worry about it as much as he does in terms of building back up that arm to pitch. I can't imagine we'll really see him in the field this year, just too much risk, even at first base. So I think that there's a chance we could see him even early in the season, but I think we'll know a lot more by the end of January, once he kind of meets with all the doctors and they kind of get a real feel for where his elbow is and the risk and everything else. But I do think that in terms of hitting, it shouldn't be an issue. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, kind of getting that arm ready to go for the next season. It's going to be a, you know, kind of a crazy process to be not only playing in games and hitting, but also rehabbing on the side to try to pitch. So it'll definitely be fun and very interesting to monitor all year for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the interesting storylines that's going to go on with the Angels all season. I just feel like, and, you know, I'm kind of putting you on the spot to see if you agree with this, but I feel like if Mike Trout did not have only 2 years on his contract left and they were desperately trying to get him to a postseason, I just feel like this whole process would be looked at completely differently if there were no Mike Trout. Mike Trout was playing, you know, for a different team and he was never in this organization. I just don't feel, I feel like they're just going with their sense of urgency here. And it just makes me kind of uneasy.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can definitely see the fact that there is a sense of urgency and there's more of a reason to get his bat in there because he is such a big part of that offense when his, you know, his numbers last year as a hitter really were incredible. He has a lot of power, great runner as well. You're right. You know, they can't really afford to take it slow and let Otani take the whole year off from hitting two and miss an entire season because he means so much to them. And yeah, and then with Trout, they need to win. They need to win these next 2 years to convince him to stay. And Otani's a big part of that. You know, he's the only other, you know, the big star on the team other than him. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And yeah, if anything were to go wrong or any setbacks, you know, there could be some fingers pointed here and there on the way everything was handled. But at the same time, I mean, I think that you know, Alec Trash is a great doctor and very respected. So I think they're going to listen to doctor's orders. I can't imagine they're going to defy anything from the training staff, but you're right. But I do think that it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how it goes. If anything goes wrong, I think people are definitely going to be very curious to see if the Angels did anything a little bit too aggressive there in terms of trying to get him on the field.
Yeah, that's why they get paid the big bucks and we just sit and observe everything. So thank you, Rhett, for thanks to everybody for listening to MLB Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition. We will talk to you next week.